All right, I just spent over an hour reading Popular Philosophy, The Will to Believe, a ridiculously dense philosophical essay, I think is the appropriate way to phrase it. And I am burnt out and ready to talk about some football, which I guess in the whole grand scheme of things is not nearly as important, but at this moment is very much necessary. So, Sam, I'm excited for this episode, if only to give my mind a break. And for the second, and I maybe the more important reason for our show, is that week two of the NFL season was just absolutely wild. But before we get into that, I will say, welcome back to California, my friend.
Yeah, it's hot. You know, it actually hasn't been, like, today wasn't as hot. Really as I thought it would. I went out and played golf a little bit, and I think it only touched 80 today.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, bullshit, it's hot. There's no way. You came back at a really nice time. I'm looking at the weather right now, and it's not going to crack over 90, at least in Chico right now. This whole entire, well, I guess this weather app goes about 10 days. So you lucked out, man. You're like, this isn't that bad.
I should say you're welcome, like in my Maui voice.
Oh, yeah, from Moana? Oh, because you brought it with you from Washington.
Okay. Yeah, I brought the cool air, man. Don't worry about it. I did that for you.
I appreciate it. How was your golf game today?
You know, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I shot a 94.
There you go.
A lot of opportunity to improve, but it's a good floor to build off of. I think I will say I played with our mutual friend Ben, longtime guest of the podcast, and he played much better this time than he did with you.
Oh, what did he shoot?
He shot an 81, I want to say, but he had a legitimate chance to break 80 on the last hole, and we played at Ansel Hoffman, and there's just some trees there that I swear get longer, and they just start grabbing golf balls after a while.
To be fair, Ben, and obviously nobody here knows this other than, you know, you, Ben, and I. Ben is better than both of us. I'm probably at this point a little bit better than you, but not by much. And we all, it's funny when we all play together because I'm always chasing Ben. You're always chasing me. I feel like when the three of us play together, none of us play our best rounds. But I feel like when I go play with Ben, like just me and him, or when you go play with just you and Ben, that like brings out, at least for you and me, our best rounds. I certainly feel that way.
I've had a couple of my best rounds with Ben. I think there's just like a calming effect. And I've said this before to him. I think when he gets so mad at his game and he's playing so well, it's like, well, I have no business being mad at my game.
Right.
So it's like, I'm just happy to be here at this point. He's getting legitimately upset with himself for like pars and bogeys. And
yes.
I'm like, well, I shot a double bogey on that hole, but I thought I played that hole pretty well.
Yes. And the ex-collegiate golfer is getting frustrated. Then I think we can be okay. Although you and I still haven't played the match. You and I technically have never gone one-on-one head-to-head, and Ben wants to officiate that match. So now that you're back, we're going to have to put that together. So
yeah, we'll get that together in the next couple of weeks. My dad actually brought that up because I think we posed that on the podcast and he heard that. And he's like, that was one of the first things he said to me. He was like, oh, when are you going to finally go versus with Jason? I was like, I don't know. I might have to practice a little bit more.
Yeah, I know. I would need to get at least one or two more rounds under my belt. I know I rolled out there last month after not playing for 2 years and shot to like an 86 or something. So maybe I should. Maybe I actually need to do the opposite and not play and just roll with the whole idea of, well, beginner's luck kind of thing, even though it's not beginners, but maybe taking a 2 year break makes me a beginner again. All right.
Yeah. That definitely happens for me too. I think with basketball, that happens a lot when I'm not shooting a lot and I just come back. But let's roll right into NFL week two.
Holy smokes. Okay. So, a lot of stuff happened, a lot of interesting storylines. I'm not going to run through all of the scores like normal. If you want to look up the scores, do it on your own. Whatever. I'm not going to do that right now. I'm not going to do that right now because there's a bunch of other stuff that we have to get to. And I wanted to start the show with something that we don't get a chance to do often because I think – I don't know what the right way to phrase this is. I think it's the most relevant to do a segment like this at the beginning of the season because – during the preseason, we all make our predictions. We all have our expectations for what's going to happen for the upcoming season. And usually by week 2, 3, 4, and 5, we kind of start to see whether or not our predictions come true or not. I think week 1 is a little premature to waver on some preseason predictions. But week 2, we're kind of starting to see whether or not what we had predicted for the upcoming season may or may not come to fruition. So I just want to do a little segment. You and I can pick 3 or 4 things that we, as of right now, got wrong with the NFL season. So whether or not it be with a player or be with the team, and I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example for this. The first thing that I got wrong for this upcoming season is I completely undersold the Miami Dolphins. Completely undersold the Miami Dolphins. We didn't talk a ton about the Dolphins-Chargers game last week. I know we'd mentioned Tua and his ridiculous numbers that he put up. But this past week, I believe they were in Foxborough. Mm-hmm. They go on the road. They beat the Patriots, which, again, is going to be a better win than I think most people realize. Tua plays great, and honestly, well, he's played great. He didn't play, I guess, perfect, almost like he did last week, but he still played really well. Honestly, at this point, he's probably the leading candidate for MVP from a quarterback standpoint. Okay.
He is, according to FanDuel, he is the front runner.
Okay, yeah, he should be. Their defense has played pretty well. They have so many names on defense. They're only going to get better. I mean, when Jalen Ramsey comes back, they're only going to get better on defense. I was completely wrong about the Dolphins, and I think that was more because of my belief in the Bills and the Jets, but I guess I should have placed my faith in the Dolphins because I got that one wrong.
Well, I'll say in the same division, I think, and this is mostly because of Aaron Rodgers' injury, but I was very high on the Jets. I think I had them winning this division, if I can remember correctly. It's really hard to go back all that way, and I didn't write it down.
Poor journalism.
But I was very high on the Jets, and they are not going to be meeting that expectations this season.
Well, obviously, but I think we can give them a slight pass because of the Aaron Rodgers thing. No,
I feel like we can't because there's an injury history there with him. He got injured last season. I think the season before he missed a couple games as well, and he's only getting older. Right in the new system. So I think banking on the 39-year-old quarterback's health was something that I think everyone really just kind of overlooked. No way of telling that, yeah, he's going to blow out his Achilles in the first game. But I think it's safe to say that we all could have seen him missing at least some time. Just the same thing with Tua. If Tua is going to miss time, I think that's really the only limitation that everybody was putting on Miami. If he doesn't miss any time, that team is incredible. And we saw it last season. When he plays, they win. And when he doesn't play, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Their offense is, I mean, it's incredible. It really is. And
it's automatic.
And you know what the biggest, and I'll have to pull up his numbers from the previous week. So I'll need to do a quick dive on last game. But Raheem Mostert, I mean, we talk all the time about, okay, so here are his stats from the first week. So he had 10 carries for 37 yards, 1 touchdown. He also caught 2 passes in that week 1 game against the Chargers. The Dolphins only ran for 70 yards in that first game. So maybe that's not the example that I was hoping it was going to be. But he played
well in week 2.
Yeah, but at least against the Patriots, he had 18 carries, 121 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had a catch as well for 6 yards. I'll tell you what, if they can get, let's say, somewhere in the middle of those two games, each week from Raheem Mostert, then that just adds a completely different layer to that offense, because we look at Tua, we look at, you know, Tyreek, we look at Jalen Waddle, we look at the track team that they have for their wideouts. But if they can get a consistent level of production from Raheem Mostert, I mean, they legitimately, by the end of the season, might have the best offense when it's all said and done.
Well, after seeing Raheem for so many years in San Francisco and really seeing his come up in San Francisco under Kyle Shanahan and that really same offense that Mike McDaniels is coming from, when he is healthy, he's an amazing back. But just like Tua, just like, I mean, so many players in the NFL, you can't really guarantee his health. But he is, I mean, he is a track star amongst track stars. He legitimately came from track in college before he became an NFL player. And he just fits that the identity of that team so well, the finesse style of that team. They're not going to overpower you. They're not the Tennessee Titans, but they are going to be so fluid and moving around defenses and really pinpointing and slashing through defenses so efficiently. And just like San Francisco, this team's ability to catch and then get yardage after the catch, after contact, is so good.
Well, dude, I mean, it just goes back to that old adage, speed kills. I've got a post right here from one of my favorite sports statistics page on Instagram, WTF Stats, in case anybody wants to go there. They're awesome. They had something that showed, and this, they just took a snippet from the game the other day, but I'm glad they did. The Dolphins have four players on their offense who all ran under 4.4s with their 40-yard dash times. So, I mean, just get them the ball. You know, I mean, that's really all Tua has to do, is get them the ball in open space, and they can easily do the rest. They are, and honestly, more than anything right now, they're just so much fun to watch. Like, Mike McDaniel is an easy guy to root for. Tua is an easy guy to root for. Their offense is flashy. They're just very, very fun to watch. And I was wrong about the Dolphins.
And I was wrong about the Jets.
Yeah. Okay, so another one. Here's the other thing that I was legitimately really wrong about. I don't even think that this is like a big error on my part per se, because I don't think that a lot of people could have predicted this. I did not think that the NFC South was going to be one of the remaining divisions to have 3-2-0 teams by week two. The Falcons, the Saints, and the Buccaneers are all 2-0. And that is just wild to me. After being regarded as potentially one of the worst divisions ever between the last year or two, with the exception of the Buccaneers, I mean, those three teams have had some scrappy wins over the 2 weeks, and I think they're all, and now I said the Saints because of their cake schedule and the fact that I think they're pretty good, may vie for a top like 1, 2, or 3 seed in the NFC. I don't think that's because they're a juggernaut of a team, but because they're pretty good and they have an easy schedule. But the Falcons and the Buccaneers are much better than I thought they were going to be.
Well, you know, I believed in the Falcons. I think ultimately I landed on them as the winner of this division. And man, did they escape with that win against Green Bay. kind of had no business winning that game. Desmond Ridder is really the only question mark for that team. I think their defense does a pretty good job. They have weapons.
It's weapons galore.
On that offense, I mean, Drake London, I think, is one of the most underrated skill position players in the NFL. Yeah, I'm not even going to mention Kyle Pitts because they don't care that Kyle Pitts is there.
No, it's the worst thing.
So much for him being the best tight end prospect since, I don't know, Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
But their running back room with Bijan, Tyler Algier, they're just.
And even Ridder can move.
Yeah, a little bit for sure. I mean, they just know exactly what makes them tick, and they are going to do that until they beat you. They're not going to play outside themselves. And I think that is – that was the same with them last year. They were a tough out every single week last season. And I think that just goes – that's a testament to their culture and that coaching staff.
Well, to your credit, I mean, with the whole offensive weapons, I mean, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier, those are two outstanding running backs. Like you said, Drake London is really good. Mac Hollins is a lot better than people give him credit for. He was on the Raiders last year, and I swear that dude caught every important pass that Derek threw. Mm-hmm. He's an absolute machine. He's huge, too. Jonnu Smith is a pretty damn good tight end. And Kyle Pitts, we think, is really good. They just never throw to him for whatever reason. They've got a lot of really good skill players.
And the Joker position, Cordell Patterson. He's been injured these first couple of weeks. And getting him coming back, I think he's one of the biggest count him out guys. And then, boom, he goes for 150 on the ground and 70 through the air. And it's like, geez. Cordell Patterson just destroyed us single-handedly.
Yeah. Yeah. Cordell, well, he was a fantasy god for a lot of people last year. I think Shohei,
for
like
a couple years now.
Yeah, I think Shohei in our league he got deep into the playoffs because of him.
Yeah, something like that. So they're I think surprising people. It's just that quarterback position. I think that's why I got it a little wrong with the Saints. Because I think Derek Carr is far and away the best QB in that division. I'll admit it. I definitely thought Tampa Bay was going to be the fourth seed in that division, and they are shocking people.
Baker's playing great right now.
Well, you know, it's also like the bones of that Super Bowl winning team. They're getting a lot of those same guys: Lavonte David, Shaq Barrett. A bunch of those guys on the defensive side with a lot of pride that are playing really well, like playing up to that Super Bowl level.
Yeah.
And it's allowing Baker to make mistakes, but then also play like really clean football right now, but he's not asked to do a lot because they're getting a lot from, I mean, Mike Evans and
I was about to say
Chris Godwin and Rashad White is their running back there, and mm-hmm. he had a really good game in week two. So like they're not asking him to do a lot, and they're winning games.
He went 26 for 34, 317, one touchdown. And you know the funny thing is that Mike Evans was like a first or second round pick in fantasy every single year. And then this year I found that in a couple drafts he dropped to like the sixth or the seventh or the eighth round. Yep. And that never really made a whole lot of sense to me, because if you just look at his track record, like he was having 1,000-yard seasons even when Brady wasn't there. Like the dude pretty much – I don't know if he's not had a 1,000-yard season since he's been in the league. He certainly has one of the longest streaks in NFL history, I believe. And he's – like he had average or poor quarterback play pretty much his entire career until Brady got there and was still putting up 1,000 yards. So I don't think that Baker is by all
–
by any means –
don't disrespect Jameis Winston like that. Come on.
Okay. Let me go back to what I said. Average or poor.
But Jameis was a yardage, like, machine.
He was also a turnover machine. So I don't know. You got to take the good with the bad. But so I don't really understand why Mike Evans fell, at least off people's radar, at least as far down. Maybe not fell off people's radar. Maybe that's the wrong way to phrase it. But maybe just wasn't on the forefront of people's minds heading into the season.
I mean, he was getting picked pretty consistently behind Chris Godwin.
Yeah, he was. He was, which, again, I don't understand. I didn't understand it then. I don't understand it now. But they've been fun. They really have been fun to watch. Baker has been playing really good football. I don't know what they're going to be. I mean, they're going to have a really tough test next week. They're playing Monday Night Football against the Eagles this Ooh. Upcoming week, and it's in Tampa. So that'll be a really interesting game, I guess, for both teams. Because I don't think the Eagles have – I know they're 2-0, but I don't think they've come out the gate the way that they wanted to. So that'll be really interesting to have Philly travel to Tampa. I'm really, really interested in how that game plays out. And then as far as, you know, saying, wrapping this segment up in terms of, you know, what we got wrong, I'm gonna go to my division real quick and say I was wrong about the Chargers and the Broncos. I'm going to give you a statistic about the Broncos right here.
Uh-oh.
Before Sunday, teams led by Sean Payton were 72-0, including the playoffs.
Pretty good teams.
When they had an 18-point lead. Now he's 72-1. Now, I don't want to undersell the Washington Commanders because, again, I think they're also better than a lot of people thought they were going to be.
Not really.
But I really thought that the they're 2-0. I really thought that the Sean Payton move was going to...
I just threw you off a little bit with that one.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm spinning right now. I really thought that the Sean Payton move was going to pay dividends pretty early in the season for Denver, and it really hasn't. I know that Russell Wilson played better last week, but I really thought it would look a whole lot cleaner. And I also thought the addition of Kellen Moore with the Chargers was going to make a massive difference. And that also appears to not be the case. So I think I was wrong about both of those teams. Also, the Raiders are sitting at the top of the division. You couldn't have given me any type of bet to put money down on that. But here we are after week two. That won't last, by the way.
And the Chiefs really haven't looked good in these two games. I mean, they get
lucky.
No,
they have not.
Their defense has definitely played. I think they held Detroit, a seemingly good offense in Detroit, to
21.
14 points. Well, one was a pick six. So that offense to 14 points. And then they hold the Jacksonville Jaguars to 9. Jaguars have a good offense with a lot of weapons on that team. So I think that's pretty impressive for that defense.
Calvin Ridley's awesome, by the way.
Yeah, he hasn't missed a step. The reason I say the Commanders aren't very good is because they've beaten the Arizona Cardinals and the Denver Broncos, two teams that aren't good.
True, but I mean, I think that when I say that they're better than I think people thought, I'm not saying that they're going to make the playoffs or anything, but I think
that's what you said. You said that.
I actually never did. but I think they're just playing better than I think we would have originally thought.
They're beating bad teams. I mean, they're like Arizona is actively trying to lose. That's the only way that the Giants came back in that game.
But that's
Arizona is trying to lose.
But that's the mark of a good team, right? Like, you're supposed to beat the bad teams. You're supposed to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. And then from time to time, you need to steal one against the big guys, right? Like, that would be a formula for them to get into the playoffs. Like, I'm not saying that they're going to, but it wouldn't be the biggest surprise, I think, in the league if they did, if they're just going to beat up on bad teams. And they could do what the Giants did last year. I mean, the Giants beat up on bad teams and then stole a game or two against maybe teams that they weren't supposed to. Washington's defense is not that bad, and they've got a lot of pretty decent weapons on offense. Sam Howell is not Aaron Rodgers, but he's not Zach Wilson, I guess, right now.
He's pretty dang close. I will
okay.
say, I think the team that I was most wrong about was the Rams. I think we prematurely destined for them to be one of the worst teams. Matthew Stafford, I think he is playing the best ball of his career.
He's playing great.
After watching what he did in pretty much single-handedly dismantling the Seahawks, in Seattle? No, I can't remember which. But that was a huge shock.
It was in Seattle, yes.
How convincing the Rams beat Seattle. And then what he did against the Niners. I mean, that looked like back in 2021 and 2020, like when the Rams were fully healthy, fully tooled, when Niners-Rams. Like, that game was close. And then the Niners pulled away late. But the Rams' defense with a bunch of late round picks and Aaron Donald seemingly back to that same form. They're a lot better. I think they have a legitimate chance to finish second in that division and make a wild card.
Possibly. You know what wasn't all that surprising, but was nonetheless jarring? How many 49er fans there were at that game? Like, that was a 49er home game through and through.
Well, it's called Levi's South, so it's for a reason.
Like
49er fans travel well, man.
Especially in the Bay Area. Like that was startling. It really was a shocking. Well, no, because I guess it wasn't shocking. I just said it wasn't. I guess, but it was jarring. I guess that's more what it was, because that was 100% a 49ers crowd. It wasn't even close. But I guess, I don't know, when you play in LA, that's sort of what you're subjective to. And even Vegas from time to time as well.
Yeah, so. It was weird. Like, you really noticed it on, like, the third down plays.
Mm-hmm.
When the Rams are on third down on offense and the place is screaming. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is supposed to be – oh, like, why are we getting the road treatment? Like, this is bizarre. But, yeah, those Niner fans came out and they were loud in that game. And you know what? They have a lot to root for.
They
San
do.
Francisco didn't play particularly well in this game, because I think they are much more talented than this Rams team.
100%.
But, yeah, Brock missed a lot of, like, a couple throws.
Yeah, he's trash.
Luckily, Deebo had a really good game. McCaffrey has been breaking. Like, McCaffrey is
crazy.
Just so good. McCaffrey is the ultimate luxury.
Yes.
You don't need a great running back to be a winning team. But when you have one, it is such a luxury.
Yeah, and he's one of those players that, like, you know, certain players just look right in certain uniforms. Like, he just looks like he belongs in a 49er uniform.
And yeah, doesn't it feel like he's played for the 49ers his whole career?
Yeah, like,
it just makes sense.
Yeah, he should never leave. He should never leave the 49ers after this. He looks like he belongs in a 49ers uniform. I mean, like, Aaron Rodgers, I feel, felt that way for me in Green Bay. I thought Drew Brees obviously felt that way. And I understand that I'm naming two players who spent a ridiculous amount of time with one franchise. But there are just certain players that when you see – like Peyton Manning, he played a long time – for Indianapolis, but he played a couple seasons for Denver. He just always to me was a Colt. Like, he looked perfect in that uniform. And there are just certain people who have that. And I feel like McCaffrey absolutely is a 49er through and through, 100%.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And they get a nice opportunity against the Giants on Thursday night.
Yeah, they're going to slaughter the Giants, are they not?
I really hope so. I don't think that the Giants just have not looked good. Yeah,
well,
they came back to win against Arizona, but, like, they were down 28 to zip.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been in that position in the first place. And now Saquon's out.
Yep. So it's a lot. And I don't think I can name one of the receivers.
Well, I know Darren
Sterling Shepard's still there.
I know Darren Wall is there. I can tell you that much right now. Yes, Sterling Shepard is still there.
Oh, okay.
Isaiah Hodgins, I remember him. Darius Slayton, remember him?
Oh, should have known. Like, those guys have been there. Like, Shepard and Slayton have been there for a couple seasons now.
Yeah.
And we've been – and, like, I think everyone's been saying, oh, you need wide receiver help. Like, you need to get Daniel Jones, the guy that you're paying, more help. I think another big surprise and – well, actually a couple – the Bengals at 0-2, they just have not looked good.
Yeah, that's a little bit weird. I don't know how much of that has to do with Joe Burrow's lingering sort of calf issue, but – and I don't know necessarily – because they played, obviously, the Ravens this past week, and it was 27-24. I don't know
– they came back in that game. They were down.
They did, yes. Yeah, they were. And I don't know whether or not – that has more to do with the fact that the Bengals, just for whatever reason, aren't looking right, or the fact that the Ravens are going to be really good this season. Like, they
– Lamar looks good.
Yeah, Lamar looks great. I have his numbers right here. He was 24 for 33 for 237 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also ran 12 times for 54 yards. He looked back – I mean, he looked like Lamar. I mean, that's really all that there is to say about that. I mean, he just does amazing things seemingly every week. And so does Joe Burrow, usually. But for the past 2 weeks, no, not the case. I don't know what's going on with the Bengals. I really don't. I have no read on that team right now.
It's got to be that injury thing, right? Because he was only sacked once, so he
has to be it, right?
I think that's like the big MO for the Bengals is like you got to get to Joe Burrow, you got to pressure him because they've always had this weak offensive line. You can't let him wait to create those explosive plays because their wide receivers, like their skill positions, are so talented that Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins are going to get open down the field and they're going to get those explosive plays, but they're just not there.
I was going to say, like, why is Ja'Marr Chase only getting like 3 or 4 catches a game through the first 2 weeks? And I don't want to hear the double team thing. I don't want to hear the double team thing because you can't tell me that during his rookie season and last year, he wasn't getting double teamed as well. They have the same collection of wide receivers. It's the same quarterback. I understand that each year defensive coordinators make adjustments, but let's not act like he wasn't getting double teamed the past 2 years anyway.
Well, you know, he started slow last season too. And I remember I think it took him a couple weeks before he had that monster game. And he really is one of those players that when you look at his numbers at the end of the year, it's like, oh my gosh, he had a great year. Like I think 1500 yards last season, double digits in touchdowns, right? But those are also coming from, like, he'll have 200 in a game and 150 in a game, and yada, yada. Like, it's not a consistent line. He'll go for, like, huge spurts and then have sort of an off game where he seems, like, kind of contained. But they've been able to win because if Jamar's not going crazy, then T. Higgins is obviously having a great game because Joe is just had that kind of production. But that's just not there for him. And I think they need to get right game for sure.
They do. They do. Let me pull up their schedule real quick. They play the Rams. They play the Rams in Cincy, which is, going to be harder than I think we would have otherwise thought. Then they get the Titans. Then they get the Cardinals. And then they get the Seahawks. Looking at those four games, I mean, on paper, you should say they should win those four games, right? I mean, like,
the Bengals are would have won the last two.
Well, okay. I would have said they would have at least split the last two because I wouldn't have given them the Baltimore one. But the Rams. It was in Cincy, but again, it's still the Ravens. And the Ravens are really good. I know the Bengals are supposed to be really good as well, but that was never going to be a cakewalk. And I don't think this Rams game is going to be a cakewalk, at least not the one that we thought it was going to be. The Titans, I don't know yet. I really don't know anything about the Titans right now. They, again, they're another team that so far has just been kind of weird. Like,
what, did they lose that game to the Saints?
They lost the game to the Saints by one, and then they beat the Chargers in overtime. Not a team that I have a great read on at the moment.
But imagine if they beat the Saints. I think our tune about the Titans would be like, oh, this team is definitely going to win this division. Right? If they went out and beat a team of the Saints who we presume is pretty good, and then I think the Chargers came back to tie it and then Titans get a gritty win in overtime. Right. Like, I think there's just so like such fine margins for this Titans team to being kind of a contender in the AFC.
Well, so after the Titans, the Bengals get the Cardinals and the Seahawks, right? So they have four games right here that they should be favored in, I would imagine. They're going to have to get these four games because the next two games after that are in San Francisco.
Hell.
And then they play the Bills.
Maybe a dub.
So, I mean, they're going to need these four games desperately because I think you pencil that 49ers game in as a loss right now, and that Bills one is a toss-up right now.
I'm putting that L in, that 49ers loss in pen.
That's fine. That's fine. I would too.
I'm gonna type it up and print it.
Okay, do it. Hang it on your wall. Put it on your fridge.
I think we're almost done with this. I think the last surprise that I've had is just how bad Justin Fields has been.
Yeah, I was wrong on that as well. I was thinking that maybe he was gonna take a a Hurts-like jump, something like that. Maybe not exactly the same, but close.
He's regressed.
He doesn't look good. I mean, that interception that he threw at the goal line was just terrible. Like, it was sad. It was just sad. I felt bad for the guy. Like, that is genuinely just, there's no other words to describe it other than that's just an awful football play through and through. That was terrible.
So this is the second year with this coordinator?
Yes.
Yeah, gosh, because I was about to say, like, isn't this his third year with a third different system? But it's, yeah, second year under the same system. It's just no relation. I bought it just like you. I bought into the hype of what Justin Fields was going to deliver this season, and he's been so far off that point in these first two games.
Well, they're also not running him either. Like, they've completely abandoned the run. There's no reasonable explanation that you could give me as to why Justin Fields ran the ball four times for 3 yards. Ooh. There's really not.
Yeah, because when he was at his best in his true production, he was running upwards of 10 times.
All over the field. Like, he had like 900 yards in like 10 games. It was insane.
Maybe the Bears are trying to tank for Caleb Williams.
Maybe. Maybe. Although the Raiders might beat him to it. I don't know. Although I will say, so far, the Raiders have been at least a little bit better than I thought they were going to be. I didn't expect them to beat the Broncos in Denver. The Raiders played pretty well. Obviously, Denver, I think, stinks. They were actually in that Buffalo game way longer than I thought they were going to be. Like, there was legitimately still hope at halftime. And then the Bills come out and we stop them on their first drive. And I'm like, okay, well, if we go down and score, then, like, we can legitimately talk about them maybe stealing this game. That game was way more competitive than I thought it was going to be. Obviously, at the end, the Bills just sort of opened up the floodgates. But I was already expecting them to lose. I wasn't expecting them to be in the game as long as they were. I mean, our defense stinks. It is just awful. It is just awful. And I have
Did Adams get injured?
I think he's in – I don't think he's going to be out next week, at least as far as I know. There was an ESPN report that came out a day ago that was titled Raiders Davante Adams good after concussion evaluation. Okay. So I think he's okay. I have to say one thing.
Okay.
Josh McDaniels, probably, you know, I was just talking about Christian McCaffrey looking like he belongs in a San Francisco 49. Josh McDaniels is probably the least Raider looking person I've ever seen in my entire life.
Let's get Jack Del Rio back.
I just, when you hear the Raiders and you think about all the players that they've had, all the coaches that they've had, he just does not look like a Raider. In any way you slice it. None at all.
Knock on wood if you're with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Gentlemen, knock on wood if you're with me.
Exactly. Exactly. So.
So what's with Josh Jacobs? Why does he suck now?
Well, first of all, we just completely gave up on the run in the second half because we were down by so much. It was ridiculous. I don't know why. I mean, he carried the ball 9 times for negative 2 yards. So I really don't know if that's him or our offensive line just getting absolutely decimated. I don't want to make.
You know, Josh, I'd say you had a good game, but you actually hurt us today.
Yeah. You know when that old phrase, like, oh, man, you really did nothing out there. Well, you actually did nothing.
Did worse than nothing.
Yeah, he did worse negative than nothing. Two. You actually helped the Bills. So, again, I don't want to make a judgment on Josh yet. Obviously, I heard that he was in pretty good shape when he came back finally after he signed. Like, he was keeping himself in shape and ready for the season. So maybe he's getting his legs underneath him. I don't know. Maybe it's their offensive line. I'm not sure. The Raiders play the Steelers on Sunday Night Football next week.
Ooh, that's a get-right game.
And that is at home. So I think the Steelers, I thought, I thought the Steelers were going to be a little bit better than they are. They played much better against the Browns. Much their better against the Browns. Their defense
is good, man.
Their defense is insane. And we cannot go through this episode, by the way, without mentioning the Nick Chubb injury. I know it took a while to get to this point, but that was legitimately one of the worst football injuries I've seen in a while. Like, knees do not bend that way.
Well, unfortunately, his knees bent that way for the second time now.
I know.
I mean, it's just, it's awful. I really hope, I was talking to someone about it. It's like him having already dislocated his knee, tearing his ACL before, knowing kind of what that rehab process is going to be like. Does that, like, is that a positive or is that almost a hindrance of, man, I know how hard it was to come back from this injury and I have to do that again to get back to the same sort of player that I was before. And he's really, I don't think there's a way that he could be the same player. Like his cuts, I don't feel like he can now after this, another surgery on that knee, make those same sort of cuts he used to and be as explosive as he was. I mean, medicine is so good now that he should be able to get to 95%, 98%, but there's still going to be that little bit that's missing that made him, Nick Chubb, one of easily the top five running backs in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so unfortunate how that happened.
From a fan standpoint, obviously you got to hope that he's okay. Going forward, like obviously he's got to go through the rehab process, but that he can come back and be who he was. Who knows how likely it was? I guess he did it once before. I don't know what the likelihood of him doing that again is, but hopefully we get to see him being Nick Chubb again eventually next year. In the meantime, we need to make our picks for next week. So as it currently stands right now, you are 1-0 because we tied. We tied the previous week for week one. You crushed me in our picks.
Yeah, how many did I get right? Did I get six right?
You were 5-4-7. 5-7.
Wow. You
and I can't
even show up.
I know. I can't believe I actually picked the Browns considering how high I have been on the Steelers this entire time. So that was – I really can't explain that. But let's go through some picks. You have a commanding 101 lead. So let's get into this. 49ers Giants, that is Thursday night football. I don't think the 49ers really even need to show up to win this game, but I think we'll just move past that. I don't think we need
the rest of the Giants are sitting there. Hey, have the Niners like showed up? Like we're supposed to start this game pretty soon. No, they haven't, but we're just going to give them the win anyway. You think that's fair?
Yeah. And you know what? The Giants would probably be okay with it. They'd probably agree.
They'd be like, oh, thank God we were not ready.
We weren't
ready to get smoked.
Give us the bye. Give us the bye. All right. Falcons-Lions. That is going to be a really fun game. It is in Detroit.
Falcons-Lions. I'm going to stick with the Falcons. So the Falcons are actually +3 on the road. I just pulled up FanDuel just to know. I'm going to say the Falcons. I'm going to stick with them.
You've been riding with them the entire season so far. So
the entire 3 weeks.
I know. The entire season's this extremely long NFL season so far. I'm going to go contradictory to that. I'm going to go with the Lions because I
think that's a good one.
Have been singing their praises since the preseason. All right, Chargers-Vikings. Gosh. I don't think that's
it. I picked the Chargers the last couple of weeks when they kind of run. These are two teams that have struggled in close games. This is kind of like an even game because the Vikings are at home and the Chargers are underdogs by 1.5. I'd lean towards the Chargers as the dogs.
Yeah, this one's tough because so the Chargers lost a close game to the Dolphins. We think the Dolphins are really good.
Facts.
The Vikings lost a tough game to the Eagles, close game to the Eagles. We think the Eagles are really good. But they both have – their other two losses are
– kind of meh.
Yeah, so they've kind of followed similar paths. I usually tend to side with the home team. I've been wrong about the Chargers each week. I've picked them in both games. So I'm just going to go with the Vikings on this one.
You know, I think that's actually really smart, too. I totally forgot. Vikings are on 10 weeks, 10-day.
There's that, too.
Because they played on Thursday.
There's that, too.
A little more rest, a little more time to prepare.
All right, Kirk, go beat Justin Herbert for me.
So the over for that game is 53.5. I think they crushed that, these two teams.
So what would they both – so 26, basically, for each of them, roughly?
Yeah. The Chargers are scoring over 30.
Yeah, I think they blow past that too. I think,
and the Chargers defense is a freaking revolving door.
That's like
people by.
Yeah, that's like a 35-31 type game.
To me, probably. It kind of feels like that.
Yeah. All right. Saints Packers. Saints are on the road traveling to Green Bay.
Oh, I think the Packers win. So the Packers are 2-point favorites. Kind of an even game. So New Orleans didn't look that good on Monday night against Carolina.
No, they did not.
And Carolina's a bad team. And let's be honest, they are bad.
They are
bad. And New Orleans kind of let them hang around for a little bit. So I think Green Bay's got some injuries on that offense. Hopefully Aaron Jones is back for this game, which I think he's projected to be back. So I would take Green Bay at home.
All right, I'm going to be rooting for the Saints, but I'm also going to take Green Bay. Jacksonville Texans, the Jacksonville Jaguars are at home. I'll take the Jags at home.
Yep, I'll take the Jags at home, but I would take Texans are 9.5 point.
Oh, take the Texans.
I think they keep that a little closer.
They
showed some offense against
CJ Stroud, played really well. Like, I mean,
yeah, and they got some weapons. Like, Nico Collins actually looks really good. Robert Woods in that mold. We already know Damian Pierce. He's kind of gotten off to a slow start this season, but he's good.
Yeah, CJ Stroud, 30 for 47, 384 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. That looks like that was a good pick from the Texans, taking him where they did. They had no choice to take him other than really right there. But that looks like that is going to pay dividends in the long run. So Jaguars will take at home. I don't think you're going to have any argument when I say take the Dolphins at home against the Broncos.
Oh, no. Hammer that. Okay. And so they're only 6.5 point favorites. I think that is
– smash the over on that.
It's too low. They're take the Dolphins. A touchdown favorite.
Yeah, take the Dolphins on that one. Titans-Browns. I don't know what happened to Deshaun Watson.
Awful. Watch that entire game. He looks legitimately awful.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. But
so for me, I take the Titans.
I agree.
Road dogs.
I agree. I'll take the Titans on that one as well. Bills Commanders. Bills go on the road to Washington. I'll take Josh Allen on the road with the Bills.
Yeah, give me Bills road favorites. They're 6.5.
I bet you the Commanders keep that game closer. Really? I'm telling you, I think they keep it. I think they keep it a little bit tight in that
one. So, first, is sports betting legal in California?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think
so.
It
I
is.
Think we should do. We should like bet, and I'm doing air quotes with my fingers. We should like place a dollar bet on these games and see at the end of the year like who has the most. I think, and you've definitely pitched that idea before. But I think it's just it has a little because I would take the Bills to win and to cover.
I would take the Commanders. Yeah, I would take the Bills to win, but the Commanders to keep it under 6. So maybe that'll be something we do next week. Because I do think that would be a lot of fun to just do like a mock betting thing. Ravens Colts. Ravens are at home. I'll take the Ravens to win. What's the spread on that game? Because I don't think you're going to argue with that one.
It's 7.5. I think that game's going to be close. It depends if Anthony Richardson plays. Because I liked the Colts when Richardson was in. I mean, they looked – they were moving up and down the field against Houston.
Yeah, I think with him coming – regardless of whether or not he's playing or not, I think he'd be coming off obviously a week where he did get a little bit injured. I think I would take the Ravens to win and to cover that spread at home. Jets-Patriots.
It's a tough one. Jets at home. Both teams have looked pretty bad.
But the Patriots have looked, I think, better than the Jets.
And yet they have the worst record, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I guess I'll take the Jets.
I'll take the Patriots on the road on this one. Okay.
Yeah, Patriots are favored by 2.5.
Yeah, road. I would take the Patriots to win and to cover that as well. I think Bill Belichick's going to have a field day with Zach Wilson. I understand that the Jets might not let Zach throw that much, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I trust Bill Belichick more than I trust Zach Wilson. So
yeah, I think we didn't even talk about that. That Jets game against the Cowboys, they had like Breece and Dalvin combined for maybe 15 touches.
Yeah,
and
that's not just exactly ridiculous.
The formula.
No,
that's not that exactly is... the formula.
Just awful game planning. Seahawks were a part of maybe what was the most exciting game last week. They are at home against the Panthers. I'll take the Seahawks at home against the Panthers, although I think that that's probably going to be a semi-tight game.
Yeah, I'm taking Seattle too. So FanDuel has it at 5.5. I would take Seattle.
I think if you'd have said like 6.5, I probably would have taken the Panthers, but 5.5 is kind of smelly. I would take the Seahawks as well. Give me the Chiefs and give me whatever the point spread is on that one against the Bears.
Hammer it could be 20.
Hammer it. Give me the Chiefs all the way. Hammer the spread. I don't care. Take the Chiefs on that one.
Chiefs 12.5.
Oh, never mind. Take the Bears. That's huge. That's a monster number.
For the NFL, that is huge.
Yeah, that's it. Never mind. Take the Bears on that one. That is a monster number. Never mind. Take the Chiefs to win. Take the Bears on that spread. Holy smokes. The last spread that I heard this morning was like 10. 12.5? No way. No way.
You're not gonna like another game on this then.
Yeah. Cowboys Cardinals.
There it is.
Yeah.
Dallas is 12.5 point favorites on the road.
But Cardinals
that one actually seems a little better.
Yeah, I know. Cardinals have actually played relatively decent, I guess.
No, they played well. They definitely haven't played like the worst team in the NFL.
No, they have not. So, yeah, give me the Cowboys to win, but I'll take the Cardinals and the points on that one. Raiders are at home against the Steelers. That's a Sunday night game.
Tough game. I've picked the Raiders the last 2 weeks. I picked the Raiders against the Bills, right?
No, you did not.
Oh, my bad. I love me some Jimmy G. I think Pittsburgh is just gonna tear up this offensive line. I'll take Pittsburgh as road dogs 2.5.
Yeah, I always take the Raiders. I'm really concerned about the Steelers defense. I'm really concerned about their defense. Our defense sucks.
But the Steelers offense is trash.
Yeah, the Steelers offensive line apparently is either the worst in the league or the second worst in the league. I can't remember. So hopefully Crosby and the D-line can get after Pickett a little bit, but I don't know. We'll see. Eagles-Buccaneers. We got two Monday night games. That game, I think, is going to be really fascinating. I'll take the Eagles to win, but what is the spread?
So I'll also take the Eagles. There are 5.5 favorites on the road in Tampa.
Bucks.
Oh, I'd take the Eagles. I don't believe in the Bucks.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's in Tampa. The Eagles haven't played as well as everybody thought they were going to. I know that they're 2-0, and that's really all that matters, but they haven't been overtly impressive wins. The Bucs have played really well. Baker's playing great. I think I would take the Eagles to win, but I would take the Bucs to cover on that one. And then the last game is going to be Bengals-Rams.
So Rams are 2.5 point dogs on the road in Cincinnati.
Do we know what's going on with Joe Burrow?
You know what? I honestly don't think it matters. I'm going to take the Rams to win and to cover. Because I think, you know what it honestly comes down to? Matthew Stafford is playing at a much higher level than Joe Burrow is.
I'm trying to gather some information as quickly as I can about the injury.
Yeah, take your time, man.
But we're on the podcast. Yeah, but Burrow status very much up in the air for week 3 from NFL.com.
Oh, that's not good. So even if he were to play, he's kind of limited.
Yeah. Gosh, that's rough. I want to pick the Bengals, but because I don't know what's going on with Joe Burrow, I think I'd also take the who is the Bengals backup quarterback? Because it's just so hard for me to want to. Oh, it's Jake Browning.
Oh,
look at that!
Oh,
I picked him.
Pull some high.
Picked him off in 8th grade.
What?
I did. I played against him, and I got an interception. Because he's
is he our age?
Because he's trash. Yeah.
He's a year older, isn't he?
No, I think he was. I think he was our age.
Oh shoot.
What
are we doing with our lives?
Recording a kick-ass show.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there you go.
No, he's not. He's 1996. He's 3 years older.
Bro, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm going to take the Rams because because I just don't want to go opposite that game because I feel like that's the make or break game this week.
How many do we
have? Well, we're at 4, and because I'm so wishy-washy, I feel like I have to go the Bengals to get us to 5.
No, you don't.
But
we can switch some other game.
No, because again, like there's not seemingly one I think right now that makes a whole lot of sense for us to flip on. None of these games this week are absolutely like must-see TV. I'll do it. I'll take the Bengals.
I will go. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Unless you have some.
There's a lot of
divine conviction about some other game.
The one that jumped out at me was to flip from Atlanta to Detroit.
The one that I could flip on would be the Saints Packers.
No, I'll take Detroit.
Hang on.
Are you not gonna let me?
Yeah, hang on.
You're gonna block it.
I'm gonna veto you.
You're the commissioner, and you're blocking.
I'm gonna veto you because I. Okay, look, you wanted to take the Falcons,
yep.
And I was wishy-washy about the Bengals Rams. However, I would feel more confident taking the Saints over the Packers than I would the Bengals. The Rams over the Bengals. So if you're cool with it, I'll take the Saints instead of the Packers.
I thought you were already. That's right. You weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do that. You
okay.
Do that.
I think that makes more sense because you definitely.
I think that's definitely safer.
Yeah. Well, and you wanted to do the Falcons. I wanted to do the Lions. I don't want to make you flip on that one. I was wishy-washy about those two games, so I'd rather just pick the Saints over the Packers. All right, so we're at 5. So that'll be.
I bet the Lions win. I bet the Lions win easy too.
Easy. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Well, we have reached the end of our episode, and you know what? My golly, I needed it after reading all of that philosophy text. And you know what? I'm gonna have to go right back to it here as soon as we're done. So.
And I will stress, we are not experts on gambling. I've actually never placed a bet before.
Neither
in
have
my life. I think it's just fun numbers.
It is.
To put to things of like, oh, what do people kind of put? Like, what does Vegas put
yeah.
as this game? I think that's interesting.
No, I agree. I 100% agree. So I like the idea of doing some sort of like fake betting thing and keeping track of who makes the most.
I can't stress fake.
Fake, yes, fake.
Fake.
Fake. So, all right, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. Enjoy the football this week. Stay safe, and we will see you all very soon.
See ya.